But if a stronger than he come upon him and overcome him, he will take away all his armor wherein he trusted and will distribute his spoils. He descended into hell. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, amen. These words of the gospel about a stronger man coming and taking his own spoils due to him by his victory are an expression of the faith that we profess each time we pray the Apostles' Creed, he descended into hell. Now you should know that to our fathers in the faith, this phrase was not only of faith in the creed, as it still is today, but also something immensely fascinating, kind of a medieval human interest story. What our Lord did on Good Friday afternoon when he descended into hell. The English called it the harrowing of hell. It sponsored a tremendous amount of art and spun legends and stories, and mystics had private revelations as to these things too. In art, it's often depicted as our Lord and his angel standing before hell, and a kind of a drawbridge at his command falls open and crushes beneath it the heads of countless demons. And then our Lord walks over the bridge into hell, and he distributes his spoils. That is to say, he takes the souls with him who will accompany him into heaven. But they don't say that anymore in the Apostles' Creed. There is a new translation, which one of those changes that has sort of passed under the radar. You may not know about it. Instead, they say, he descended to the dead. Why don't they mention hell anymore? That's a good question. Why don't they mention hell anymore? A favorite theologian of the current man, Ratzinger, as well as his predecessor, John Paul II, as he was known, is a German, Hans Urs von Balthasar. He didn't believe that anybody went to hell. He's a universalist. That's an American religion, universalism. Everyone goes to heaven. He was made a cardinal by John Paul II. And John Paul himself once solemnly taught that he descended into hell simply means that our Lord was buried in the earth. And you may have read in the papers at Christmas time, Ratzinger, who said back in the 60s that he didn't believe in limbo, has convened a commission which is considering putting limbo into limbo, just out there someplace. It's sad, isn't it, these changes? I mean, it makes it that you couldn't pray the rosary with those who are following the New Apostles' Creed, and you certainly don't share the same faith with them. What is the old unchanging faith of this doctrine? Hell is that place in eternity which is not heaven, as simply as that. It has four divisions. The first of these is hell, properly speaking, where the devils and damned souls are tormented in flames. Secondly, there are the flames of purgatory that serve by their punishment to purify the souls of the just so that they may one day go to heaven. Thirdly, is limbo as we know it today, or the paradise of little children who die without baptism. And then fourthly, the specific object of our Lord's descent into hell was the limbo of the fathers of the Old Testament, sometimes called Abraham's bosom. Our Lord referred to it as paradise, a place of rest and happiness, a kind of a wonderful, wonderful waiting room, because the gates of heaven were still closed until our Lord should have opened them again on Holy Thursday. And there they waited in limbo until Jesus came to them on Good Friday after he died. What about the other limbo? Well, that still exists today. It cannot be abolished. It is the common teaching of the theologians, and thus part, as you know, of the ordinary magisterium. It is the place of unbaptized babies. Limbo is the Italian word coined by Dante, who wrote his Divine Comedy. The Latin is limbus, and limbus simply means a border or a hemline, sort of the hem of a garment, the very end of it, the borderline. That's the idea. So the souls of the babies in limbo are a borderline, they are a borderline case. They haven't been baptized, and since they're babies, they couldn't have the baptism of desire, an act of perfect charity. And unless, like the holy innocents, they were killed out of hatred for Christ as martyrs, they would have no right to go to heaven. Still, it wouldn't be right to send them to hell because they have no actual sin, just the original sin they inherited from Adam and Eve. Therefore, the church teaches, they go to the limbus infantium, the baby's borderline state, you might call it. What is it? It is a paradise of great natural happiness. There is no pain there, and the little ones don't realize what they are missing, but still there is no beatific vision there. Now, as I say, there's a Novus Ordo committee that's meeting to discuss and to abolish limbo, and people say today, well, you know, it's not a defined dogma. That is true. We've heard that before. There are people who say that about baptism of blood and baptism of desire. But we are obliged to hold all three truths under pain of mortal sin because they are the teaching of the church's infallible authority. That which is a defined dogma is that no one can go to heaven without baptism. And you get the idea then as to what they're after with this particular change. They want to put hell into limbo and then get rid of limbo altogether. See what the devil does. He and his kingdom are not divided against itself, against themselves. He's inspired these denials of dogma and enshrined it in a new phrase in the creed so that people no longer say that they believe in hell. Why? Everybody goes to heaven, don't they? What did our Lord do when he went over into that borderline of hell we call limbo of the fathers? All of the patriarchs of the Old Testament must have crowded round him. And there he was in his human soul, united to his divine person, all full of glory and joy now and splendor. Suffering was past. And Monsignor Knox has him saying a little word to each one of the great figures of the Old Testament, telling Adam, oh, it's all right, Adam, but what you did was a foolish and a very wicked thing. You ate the fruit that was forbidden, but never mind. I died on a different sort of tree to redeem the terrible sin that you committed. And Eve, you were disobedient, but my mother was obedient, and she brought salvation into the world as you brought sin into the world. And Noah, you see now what my idea was in having you build an ark to save yourself and your family from the flood. It was a prophecy of the church. I am now going to found an ark which will stay afloat in this sinful world and save souls lest they should drown in it. And Abraham, God love you, you were willing to sacrifice your only son Isaac. Only my father actually did sacrifice me. But Isaac, I have this in common with you. We both of us carried the wood for the sacrifice on our back up the hill. And Joseph, you were sold for 20 pieces of silver, and I was sold for 30. And then finally, would our Lord come to the last of the Old Testament patriarchs, to his foster father. I have a wonderful poem in the bulletin which tells the story of what might have happened then. The ancient grayness shifted suddenly and thinned like mist upon the moors before a wind. An old, old prophet lifted a shining face and said, "He will be coming soon. The Son of God has died. He died this afternoon." A murmurous excitement stirred all souls. They wondered if they dreamed, save one old man who seemed not even to have heard. That one old man who had not stirred remembered home. And there he was, splendid as the morning sun, and fair as only God is fair. And they, confused with joy, knelt to adore, seeing that he wore 5 crimson stars he never had before. No canticle at all was sung, none toned a psalm or raised a greeting song. A silent man alone of all that throng found tongue, not any other. Close to his heart, when the embrace was done, old Joseph said, "How is your mother? How is your mother, son?" This is how one poet sees what must have been a very happy meeting in limbo on Good Friday afternoon. Did our Lord, after visiting limbo, actually descend into hell itself? Certainly the demons there felt and were terrorized by his proximate presence, and the venerable Anna Katharina Emmerich describes a scene in which our Lord actually went down into hell, and the devils were forced by the angels who accompanied him to adore our Lord. She describes hell as a place of dark caverns, all crowded with confusion and every kind of corruption there and in close confinement. She said that there's no comfort there. There are no consoling words, just this one awful idea that which those souls suffer in hell is only what they deserve. And they, all of them, see it, because truth is no longer disguised in hell. She has our Lord going up to Judas and saying something to him, and then our Lord going up to the bad thief and saying something to him. And Lucifer, she sees him chained up at this moment and cast into the abyss in the very center of hell. And remember, I mentioned this to you last Lent. She also writes in her private revelations, or only private, but that the devil would be unchained for a time 50 to 60 years before the year 2000, and that other demons would be let out even before that as instruments of the divine vengeance. All of this scene is worth our meditation. What of purgatory, last of all, the fourth place, purgatory? Did our Lord go there? Yes, he did. We have not only a reference to that, but a reference to purgatory itself in sacred scripture. In the first epistle of Saint Peter, he writes that our Lord went and preached to the spirits who lay in prison, purgatory, who long before had refused to believe in the time of Noah. And before they died, they did express faith, but they had to be punished for their lack of faith, and thus were they purified all of those centuries in purgatory. The Venerable Mary of Agreda sees our Lord, when he goes down into purgatory, as freeing every soul who is there. Certainly our Lord infused all of them with a new hope and brought with him a light and a wonderful sense of peace and of refreshment, which encourages us today. You and I realize, should we be lucky, we will end up in purgatory. You and I realize on a good day how much we will have to suffer there. But it will not be for us, nor for our dearly beloved departed, a place of despair or of doubt. We shall be able to say, as we do today, he descended into hell. And we know what that means for us. As our Lord once went and delivered the souls that were there, so too do we devoutly believe that on all of her feast days and on First Saturday, he sends his Blessed Mother down there to purgatory to deliver the souls who are there waiting and who have done their part to honor her, she who perfectly heard and kept the Word of God. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.